This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the History of Islam class. We mentioned earlier the incident of the migration to Abyssinia. And we said that the Prophet ﷺ asked the companions to go there because the king was a just king to save the religion. And many of them returned to Mecca because they thought that the kuffar became Muslims. So what happened exactly? Why this news, why these rumors came that the kuffar became Muslims? This happened because of the revelation of Surah An-Najm. When the Prophet ﷺ was reciting Surah An-Najm, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى, until the end of the surah, there is a sajda. So the companions prostrated themselves with the Messenger ﷺ. So did the kuffar. So people thought they became Muslims. This incident is important because there came some narrations saying that the Prophet ﷺ, while he was reciting, he praised the idols of the kuffar. Therefore, this incident was known as the incident of Al-Gharaniq. Qissat Al-Gharaniq. What's the meaning of Gharaniq? Gharaniq means the plural of Ghirnuq, bird. And it refers to the idols. In Surah An-Najm, Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. Haven't you seen Al-Lat and Al-Uzza? What's Al-Lat and Al-Uzza? Idols. وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. Mana is another idol. When we read Surah An-Najm, we say, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى. That's what we read. أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى. While they say, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى, haven't you seen Al-Lat and Al-Uzza and Manat, the third one? They said, he added, تِلْكَ الْغَرَانِيقُ الْعُلَى. These are the highest idol. وَإِنَّ شَفَاعَتَهُنَّ لَتُرْتَجَى. And their intercession is sought. Now, they say when the kuffar heard this, they said this is the first time the Prophet ﷺ is praising the idols. So when he finished, they prostrated themselves with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the issue is, did the Prophet ﷺ say this or not? Did he praise the idols or not? Because when you say we ask this intercession from the idols, what is this? It is kufr. Look at this ayah in Surah Al-Hajj. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّى أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَتِهِ فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Never did we send a messenger or a prophet before you, but when he did recite the revelation or narrated or spoke, Shaitan threw some falsehood in it. But Allah abolishes that which Shaitan throws in. Then Allah establishes His revelation. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. They say this ayah is an evidence actually that the Prophet ﷺ did say these are the highest idols and their intercession is sought. So what do you think? Why would what?
I was just never convinced that the Prophet ﷺ.
Yeah. The Prophet ﷺ would never say that. But there is a narration. Although it's weak, some scholars considered it. And they said it happened. So what do you say?
That Satan actually said that, not the Prophet ﷺ?
No, the Prophet ﷺ. You
say
the Prophet ﷺ didn't. So what happened? Here is what happened. According even to the ayah of Surah Al-Hajj, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a revelation to a messenger or to a prophet, the shaitan throws some falsehood in it. How this falsehood was thrown? In the Quran. By the shaitan. How? They said the shaitan copied the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, resembled his voice. So the kuffar thought it is from the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why we say this? Because according to the first narration, according to the narration that says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that, he asked the intercession of the idols. Jibreel alayhi salam came later on, telling him that's not how this surah was revealed. If we say this happened, that means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may make mistakes in the revelation. That means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not protected from errors. That means we cannot trust the revelation. Maybe in the other ayah he made a mistake as well. So most likely this is not possible, right? You will say this, but again there is a narration. Although it's weak, but you need to know what to say. So it's a famous story in the books of Sira, Qissat al-Gharaniq. We believe that it did not happen. But what happened then? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this ayah of Surah Al-Hajj, that the shaitan indeed throws something in the revelation until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abolishes what the shaitan has thrown. We say the Prophet ﷺ was reciting the surah as it was revealed, but the shaitan resembled the messenger ﷺ, his voice. So the kuffar thought it is from the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ would never say it, because it is in the same surah. Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. It's in the same surah. He doesn't speak out of his desire. He never speaks from his desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It's a revelation revealed to him. So that's what happened. So these words actually, they are not from the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Why would the shaitan say something to make the kuffar prostrate? That's against him.
No, he did not want them to prostrate. He wanted to mix the revelation. That's his purpose, to confuse the Muslims and the kuffar. But later on, eventually what happened? They prostrated themselves. But again, they were caught in the action. They did not do it. They saw the Muslims prostrated, so they prostrated as well. Because right after that, they did not say, oh, we became Muslims or what. All Mecca prostrated themselves with the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except for one man. No, it's not Abu Jahl. He took some of the stones from some of the dirt and he put it over his head and he said, that's enough for me. Who's that man? You find out in the book. Now, there are important incidents happened after that. Hamza, the uncle of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted Islam. What was the story? How he accepted Islam? Hamza radiallahu anhu. Yes. Yes. Hamza was one of the strongest youth in Mecca. Everybody respected him, everybody knew his strength, everybody honored him. He was hunting outside Mecca. When he came back, one of the female slaves, she told him, if you hear today what your nephew heard from Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl abused him. He wronged him severely. So Hamza came straight to Abu Jahl with his bow, and he struck Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl was bleeding. People came and they wanted to to fight Hamza. But Abu Jahl told them, don't do anything because I deserve what I did. I really abused his nephew. You could imagine if the kafir himself, he admitted that he did something horrible. How was it on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He was very patient. So Hamza, when he struck Abu Jahl, he told him, how you dare to say something like that? And I am his follower. Now when Hamza said that, he did not really mean it. But out of anger, he wanted to revenge. He wanted to protect his nephew. He said that. When he went back, now he started thinking. He's in trouble. He announced in front of everybody that he's following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he did not really do it. So he came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, look, that's what I did. So you need to tell me the truth. Are you a messenger? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, yes. And it took Hamza a few days, but then what happened? He became Muslim and he accepted Islam. Few days later, another man accepted Islam. Who was it? Umar radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ used always to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide one of the two men to Islam, one of the two Umar. Amr ibn Hisham, which is Abu Jahl, or Umar ibn al-Khattab. Why? Why the Prophet ﷺ included those two people in his dua? Because they were the mortal enemies. They were very opponents to Islam. So if they became Muslims, they will become a big support. They were great enemies, and no one would expect any of them to become Muslims. Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to torture the Muslims. He was very strong man, very big man. He had a female slave, Zinira radiallahu anha. He used to torture her. She is a woman, she is a slave, she has no one to protect her. And who is torturing her? Umar. Not a weak man, a very strong man. He used to torture her, to beat her up until he is tired himself. He is tired. You could imagine how difficult was this situation. So Umar, radiallahu anhu, before he accepted Islam, he hated the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that he wanted to kill him. He was determined. He wanted to kill the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was on his way until he was told, before you go to Muhammad, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go back to your house because your sister and her husband, your brother-in-law, they accepted Islam. Fatima and Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma. So he went crazy. He did not believe what he heard. He went back straight to his house, and he heard, before he comes, he heard the Quran. Once he opened the door, they tried to conceal the Quran, and he slapped his sister, and she was bleeding as well. He injured her, and he was beating up his brother-in-law until he asked her sister, give me what you are reading. And she said, no, you are a kafir. You have to wash yourself and then come and I will let you hear. When he came, she recited Surah Taha. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. So it touched his heart. Again, the Qur'an, this is the lesson that we have to learn always. Don't give up. Do not give up. Don't ever say, this one will never become a Muslim. You don't know. Guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the Quran, it affects the disbelievers. So it touched him and he was changed. He said, how do I become a Muslim? And she taught him. Now he went again to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first time he was going to assassinate the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he is going to accept Islam. Where did he go? Dar al-Arqam. Exactly. Again, it was the center for the Muslims. He went there. He knocked on the door. Muslims were there. Hamza, of course, was one of them. When they heard Umar was the one who was knocking on the door, they were scared because they knew. They knew he's coming and he will do something wrong. So Hamza, radiallahu anh, he told the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me open the door. Because Hamza could stood for Umar, not anyone else. But the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself, he went and he opened the door. When he opened the door, he held Umar, radiallahu anh, and he shook him. He told him, isn't it time for you to become a Muslim? So Umar, radiallahu anh, accepted Islam. And the entire place, they were happy. And now it was the first time that they will go out next to the Kaaba and they pray in front of everybody. Before that, they used to pray individually. But now they were lined up, two lines on each line. On one line there was Hamza and the other line, Umar was there. So this was a huge success for Islam. Now when Umar radiallahu anh accepted Islam, he was very excited and he wanted to tell everybody. Again, it is the media. He used the media. He asked, who is the best speaker who could deliver the message to everybody? And he was told about the man. He went to him and he told him, didn't you know that I became a Muslim? And the man, he did not ask any question. He went straight and he told everybody, Umar became Muslim. So everybody knew that Umar radiallahu anhu became Muslim. And they came and they fought Umar. And Umar was fighting them back. No matter how Umar was big, radiallahu anhu, if you have lots of people fighting you, the large number will overcome the bravery, the strength. So they used to knock him down on the earth from the morning until the sunset. This happened for several days until he told them, do whatever you want. I will never go back. So even Umar, radiallahu anh, the strong man, he was harmed by the kuffar. Now, we learn important incidents from this story. Hamza, radiallahu anh, and Umar, radiallahu anh. We need strength. The strong Muslims, they will help Islam a lot. We should never give up giving da'wah to non-Muslims. SubhanAllah, very few people, they apply this sunnah. They pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide some of the enemies of Islam. Why not? Maybe when they turn to Muslims, they will help Islam more than the 1.something billion Muslims. The two Jewish directors who accepted Islam, what did they do after they accepted Islam? Just recently, less than 5 years ago, the two directors, you never saw the DVD, Muhammad, the Legacy of Prophet? Who directed it? Who produced it? You don't know? You never saw it? Who made it? Yeah, Muslims. They are Muslims. But before that, who were they? They are Jews. They were Jews and accepted Islam. Yeah. Yeah. Now again, many people, once they become Muslims, they are excited and they want to do something for Islam. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep two people in your prayer always. Maybe Allah will guide one of them. Imagine if, like Bill Gates, became a Muslim. What will happen? What will happen? Lots of help. So this sunnah, very few people apply it. Is there any problem? Now, after these changes, Muslims became strong. The physical abuse and the torture is not working.
What happened? The mic is working. The battery is on. I don't see any problem with it. Yes? It's on now? Why you give him hard time to edit the tape? What? Anyway, now, again, Quraysh tried hard for several years. Physical abuse did not work. They had to change the strategy. Things are getting out of control. So what do? They started the debate, the dispute. They started posting questions. They went to Medina, to Yathrib. Why? Because they knew that the Jews are people of book. Now, this is the natural reaction. If you are strong and something happens you don't like and you think it's very weak, what you will do? You'll eliminate it. That's exactly what Quraysh tried to do. At the beginning, Islam started, few people. Quraysh thought with its power, they can destroy Islam, erase it. But they found out that it is very, very difficult. All what they try to do is what? Using their power. And that's what strong countries doing nowadays. They don't realize that strength itself will not help. Quraysh now moved to the second step. Okay, power itself did not help. Let's move to another thing. He said he is a prophet. Let's ask the people who follow prophets. So they went to Medina, to the Jews, and they asked them, we have a man, he's claiming that he is a prophet, what can we ask him? How can we verify if he's a prophet or not? So they gave them three questions to ask the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They told them, ask him about a group of people of the cave, and ask him about Dhulqarnain, and ask him about the ruh, the spirit. So they gave them three questions. They told them, if he answered you, then he is a prophet. If he did not answer you, then he is not a prophet. They came back with these questions, and they asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, I will give you the answer. But he did not say, inshallah. So what happened? The wahi paused for some time. It was delayed. And the Prophet ﷺ was very anxious. Now the kuffar were very happy. They said, we got him. He is not a prophet. Actually, this is an evidence by itself that he is a prophet. Because if he was making things up, he would have answered right away. He wouldn't have waited that long time. But the wahi came with the answer in Surah Al-Kahf. Then they started again changing the strategy. They started using other methods. And during that time, the Quran also was revealed. Remember, the Meccan era was 13 years. Within these years, lots of ayat were revealed. One of them is this ayah. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. And keep yourself, O Muhammad, patiently with those who call on their Lord. Who are they? They are the companions. Morning and afternoon, seeking his face. يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. And let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world. ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, one who follows his own lusts and whose affair has been lost. Allah is talking about whom in this ayah? Who are those who follow their lusts and they are heedless? The disbelievers. What did the Prophet ﷺ do in order for this ayah to be revealed? Again, the Prophet ﷺ was focusing on the rich people, the kuffar, to become Muslims, to gain more strength, because it's really important. Yes, everybody is gain for Islam. Everybody will help Islam. But those people in particular, they'll help more. So he used to care about the kuffar. He used to tell them, to remind them. Once they said, okay, we will listen to you, but kick those people, those base people, the poor people, we will not sit with them. We are the people of leadership of Quraysh. We are the people in who have this status. We don't want the slaves to sit with us. So Allah revealed this ayah. Don't listen to them. If they were true, if they were truthful about guidance, they would have listened to you regardless of the ones that are sitting with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to listen to the kuffar, because they are going to waste your time. They are not serious. If they wanted to listen to you, they would have listened, regardless of whoever with you. So this ayah is one of many ayat about human rights, about equity in Islam. We are all equal. The Western civilization needed 200, 300 years until recently to make everybody is really equal. In the Constitution, it says that everybody has the right to express his own feelings, his own religion. But when was the black person allowed to sit next to the white person?
1970.
No, before 70, in the 50s maybe, or the 60s. Not before that. Yeah, it was not implemented until recently. While in Islam, it's from that time, more than 1400 years. That's the greatness of Islam. Now, another strategy. The Prophet ﷺ gave them the answers they wanted. They were looking for answers. They were given the answers about the three questions. But did they believe? They did not believe. This shows you how arrogant. This shows you how arrogant they are. Now, the boycotts. Another method to... Why? It's on.
It's fading.
Yeah, you have to.
No, edit. No, no. It's 3 hours of editing. It's not worth it. It's still good. Keep going.
Now they move to another strategy, the boycotts. When did it happen? In the 7th year of Hijrah. Not of Hijrah, I'm sorry. 7th year of prophethood. In the 1st of Muharram, they agreed to boycott the Muslims. Yes, the Kuffar of Quraysh, they decided first to kill the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they were unable to do that. So they said, at least we will boycott him and his people. Because when they tried to kill the Messenger, all Banu Hashim, they stood by the Messenger. They backed the Prophet. Even though some of them were disbelievers, they still did not give him to the kuffar. And this tells you the importance of knowing the nature of the environment that you are in, to use it for da'wah. Now, even if there are non-Muslims, even if there are kuffar, you could still use them for the da'wah. Sometimes you get some support from non-Muslims. Why not? Be smart and take advantage of them to to your benefit for Islam. So they wanted to kill the Messenger ﷺ. If the Muslims only supported the Prophet ﷺ, maybe it will be very difficult to protect him. But all people, including the kuffar of Banu Hashim, they did not turn in the Messenger ﷺ. So the kuffar decided, they said, we will boycott the Muslims. We will boycott the Messenger ﷺ and Banu Hashim. So what did they do? They wrote an agreement that no marriages, no trade, no food for them will be provided. All the social benefits were cut off. So actually they alienated the Banu Hashim until they turn in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the terms of this boycott. And it's mentioned in the book, page 99. So what was the reason for the boycott? Why they did the boycotts? They tried to kill the Messenger ﷺ, but they were unable. So they wanted to punish the entire tribe. How did it happen? Who took care of gathering the people and making this happen, this boycott? Abu Jahl. He's the one who lobbied to have this done. And when they wrote the agreement, where did they hang it? Inside the Kaaba. Why? To be honored and respected. So no one will break his word. So they will guarantee that no one will change his mind. How long did it take? How long did it last?
3 years.
Again, nowadays, it's very difficult for us to put ourselves in that situation, in these boycotts. Nowadays, the kuffar, they still use this tactic against Muslims. They still use the boycotts. But what type of boycotts they use nowadays? Like what? Sanctions, like what? No flying, no flying, no privileges, no... But do they say no food? No water? No essential needs for your life?
No, because the country
has... No, they cannot. But that's what happened to the Muslims. Your basic needs that you need to survive, you were not given, even those simple things. To the extent that they had to eat the leaves of the tree. There's nothing to eat. If they heard someone is giving food for them, they would stop him. They would prevent that. There is nothing to eat. They used to hear the crying of the children of Banu Hashim. So that's what happened for 3 long years. And the one who wrote this agreement, the Prophet ﷺ prayed against him, and he was unable to write anything afterwards. He was paralyzed. This is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For 3 years, that was the situation for Muslims. Was it only for the tribe of Banu Hashim, or the Muslims were included as well? Even the Muslims. How did it end then? How did it end? Why it lasted 3 years? Why not more or less? After 3 years, Hisham ibn Amr and Zuhair ibn Abi Umayyah, they talked to each other and they said, this is not right. They are our relatives. They are still our people. For 3 years, we prevented them from the essential needs for their life. We have to stop this. So they said to each other, we cannot. We are only two people. How can we stand against Abu Jahl, against the people of Quraysh? Let's have another person. They went to Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. And Al-Mut'im said the same thing. We are only three people. We need another one. They went and they gathered another one. So they are four until they became five people. They said, tomorrow in the morning, we will condemn this agreement. And we will say we don't accept it. So if we all said that, we will be able to do something. They will not come after one of us. And they cannot come after all of us. We are five. At the same time, the Prophet ﷺ told his uncle, Abu Talib, who became a very old man. He told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused this agreement to fall apart. How? He sent the worm to eat the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all what's left in the agreement is injustice. Or another narration says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the worm, so it ate the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It ate everything except the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either way, Abu Talib came. Again, where is the paper? The paper in the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ has no way to see it. He told them that my nephew told me this and that, and he's telling me the truth. They said, no, he's lying. Because no one could reach the paper. How did he know that? They said, he told them, what if it was right? And they told him, what if it was wrong? He said, if it was wrong, I will turn my nephew. If he lied, I will turn him in. But if he did not lie, you will stop the boycotts. And they agreed. At the same time, those five people also said the same thing. So Abu Jahl knew that there is something was done beforehand. There is something people did. And he was not happy about this. They opened and they saw that it's true. What the Prophet ﷺ said, it's true. Abu Talib was happy, and that was the end of the boycotts. After that, the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed against Quraysh for the 3 years of the difficult time they gave to the Messenger ﷺ and the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Quraysh more difficult time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, and they lost their business. They did not have enough food. They had very hard time. Until Abu Sufyan came and he complained. And he said, you claim that you are joining the kingship. Look what happened to your people. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it was removed. As long as you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in this life, you will see the success. You will see the victory. You may not see the entire victory, but you will see something of it. Because that's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Now, during the time of the second of the boycotts, again, there is no way for Muslims to expand now. So the Prophet ﷺ commanded the Muslims to migrate again to Abyssinia. And they went there. They were 82 men and 18 women. So they were almost 100 in total. Compare this to the number of the first migration to Abyssinia. Who was the leader in the first migration? Uthman radiallahu anhu. Who was the leader in the second migration? Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So Ja'far took the Muslims and they went again. And they went again without the permission of Quraysh. But Quraysh this time, they did not give up. They followed them. They followed them even to Abyssinia, to Al-Habasha. And they asked the king to turn them in. And they plotted against the Muslims. They tried to find the foibles in Islam that they thought it will convince the king to give them the Muslims. They came and they said, we know those people, they are our people. They caused lots of trouble and we want them back. But the king was just, so he refused to give them back. They brought with them gifts Again, this tells you the importance of diplomacy. Muslims have to have diplomacy. You need to get things done. It's not always by Allah says, the Prophet ﷺ says, you need to relate to the people who don't believe in Allah and in the Messenger to get what you want. So they went there. Amr ibn al-As was one of them. Two people from Quraysh, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, before he becomes a Muslim, he was one of them. He went there and he told the king that they offend the Prophet that you believe in. They offend your God, Isa alayhi salam. Then, at that time, the king was upset and he wanted to verify this. So he called on the Muslims and they sent Ja'far radiallahu anhu to speak for them because he was their leader. Again, imagine if they did not have any leader, everyone wanted to speak, just like what happens nowadays. Some Muslims, they do some work. Other Muslims, they oppose that and they try to do something differently. And the people look at Muslims and they make fun of us. But when you have a leader and you know that you follow him, your word will be one and you will be united. You'll be much stronger. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu went there and he told the king what they say about Isa. Now again, it is important, we learn this from this story, it is important to tell the truth. Do not lie. Do not compromise. Do not say, no, we don't say that. You know, it was just like when people talk now about jihad. Say jihad is from Islam. But not like what you think. Jihad was legislated to enforce justice. We don't care what you say. Nowadays, people openly say we are against jihadis. But who are jihadis? All Muslims should be jihadis. You are against whom in particular? You have to be specific. I am jihadi. But what do you mean by jihadi? So do not be afraid. Do not compromise. Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he told the king the truth. He recited the beginnings of Surah Maryam. And the king, he believed in that. And he told him, that's the same thing. What you said and what Isa says come from the same source. That's what the king said. So they were happy and the kuffar went back empty-handed. Then another incident happened there in Abyssinia. One of the Muslims who migrated was Ramla bint Abi Sufyan, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, Ramla, Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha. She was married to Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh. Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh, he was a Christian. And then he accepted Islam. When he went there to Abyssinia, when the priests and the cardinals, they knew that he was a Christian, they focused on him to have him back to Christianity. That's what some people say. Others say he was not Christian, but he was disbeliever and he accepted Islam and he went there. Either way, he apostated. Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh apostated. And look at the situation now. This woman, she left her family, her father, one of the enemies to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She believed in the true message. She left everything. She has no family. She went with her husband to a total strange place. She has no one there. And the only one that she has, her husband, he left her. He became a disbeliever. What do you do? Who could help you? The Prophet ﷺ, when he heard that, he wanted to marry her. And he sent to An-Najashi, to the king, proposing. And he married Habiba radiallahu anha to save her and to protect her. That's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the merciful. He did not just say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, may Allah help her. He did his best to support her and to help her. Nowadays, how many Muslims, they need our help and we could barely pray for them. We are doing almost nothing. So it is our job to help the Muslims when we say we follow the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married Habiba radiallahu anha. When did he see Habiba, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When did he see his wife? years later, many years, almost 7 years later, in Medina. But she was his wife. And why he took that step? Again, he cared about every single individual, every single Muslim. That's the true leadership. Okay, with this, inshallah, we will conclude our session for today. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين.